want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is The Real Reason We Are Here. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
But everything that he does, he uses the church to do. We are part of the church. He goes on to say, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's been several years back, when I realized, when it hit me, if I think I'm making disciples and I'm not teaching people all the things that Jesus commanded, and it's what he told us to do, when making disciples, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. If I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing a very good job of making disciples, right? So that's why these teachings over the last 3.5 years have been very important for me and for this church. This is what we want. And here's the good news. He says, behold, you're not going to have to do this by yourself. I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus isn't telling us to do something by ourselves in our own strength. And I think churches make a huge mistake. A lot of modern day churches, and I'm not trying to bash anybody, but a lot of modern day churches are just, they have all kind of wonderful things going on. They have all kind of programs. They have all kinds. They can put on a presentation like you've never seen before. But if the Holy Spirit is nowhere around it and it wasn't designed by God, I don't want anything to do with it. How does a high school football team know when it wins? What is it? Well, they score, right? You know, they had a good game. They scored. They had some victory. And in fact, we had the Iway High School football team with us, and we fed them breakfast. And, you know, but before, we have about 15 minutes with them to just try to put in as much of the word and as much knowledge about Christ as we can. And we've been doing that for many, many years. Here we are. We had just a little bit of time, but we're going to take the time that we got, take the time we're given. And we're not just going to feed their bellies, but we want to give them something that maybe can go with them into eternity. And one of the coaches, I was surprised by this, but when he came in, sat down, and he just started talking to me. And the coach said, I want you to know something has happened to me in the last few years. He said, I want you to know that a few years ago, you played a video. And that video was a video, if you ever see it, I want to tell you, it's very touching. But it's a father who is in charge of a bridge, a railroad bridge. And that railroad bridge, it was open, and there's a train coming. And at the beginning of the video, you see the father with his son walking through and looking at the people on the train. And it's just, everybody's just having a normal day. But they're showing the faces of all these people on this train as they walk through, and they get to the job, and something happens where the little boy is trying to do something. He sees a train coming, if I remember right, and he's trying to close the bridge so that the train doesn't crash. And the father was distracted doing something else. But in the time of doing that, the little boy ends up falling down into the gears. And so the father now sees the train, and he knows his little boy. He sees his little boy has fallen, and he's got to make a choice, and it's got to happen, and it's got to happen quick. Because one or two things are going to happen. Either his little boy is about to be crushed by those gears and killed, or every person on that train is about to die. And the father makes the hard decision, and he has to close the bridge, and the gears begin to turn, and the father is stricken with grief, and he knows his son, there's no way he can make it through that. And the bridge closes just in time for the passengers on the train to pass through. And none of those passengers had any idea of what it just cost that father to save their lives. So it was a very powerful, powerful video. In fact, I've watched it many times, and I still cry every time I watch it. But this coach is sitting here talking to me, and he said, I want you to know something. He said, that touched my life. He said, I have gotten saved. And he said, I found that video. And he said, I play it about every 2 weeks for my guys just to keep us all straight. And he said, I've read through my Bible about 8 times so far. Amen. I was blown away by that. Yeah. And so I said that to say, you know, it's seizing the moment. Whatever moment God gives you, it probably has a lot more potential than you realize. And you may think that that wasn't enough, but I'm here to tell you that if you'll obey God, God knows what He's doing. When He opens up an opportunity for you to share Christ. Look, you may not be able to quote a bunch of scriptures to people, but you know what it took to get you saved. You know what it took to get you introduced to Christ. Just tell them that. Just share what He's done for you. And that's the beginning. But now you have to make up your mind that you're not just going to leave them abandoned like a baby that was just birthed and abandoned, but you want to connect with them and you want to connect them to the body of Christ. How does that high school team know when it wins? Well, how does a church know when it wins? Typically, high school team at the end of the game, if they have a higher score than the other team, that means they won. Well, for a church, a lot of times people kind of have that same idea. Well, if we got a whole bunch of people sitting in the seats, that means we won. Well, that might be part of it. And I do believe that God wants to reach a lot more people, that I do believe there's plenty of room for this church to grow numerically. But I'm more concerned with the fact that we win the way Jesus wants us to win. Because if we have a whole bunch of people coming to church just being church people and not being disciples, then we don't win. And the kingdom of God doesn't win. So for most, the most popular way to determine a win in a church is the size of the church, maybe, or maybe how a Sunday morning service went, or maybe the size of the budget. I've learned this. I've learned that you take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. And He's proven that to us over and over again. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just, other than to brag on God. But who would ever think that a church in a little small town like Iway, a little church that started with a few people, few broken people, that somehow God would use this very church to touch, at least that we're aware of, 77 nations, ministry in 77 different nations. That how many of you would ever think that God could use something small to do something great that no one can explain? But when His touch is upon it, when His anointing is upon it, He'll take what you have and He'll turn it into something that is absolutely impossible, and it's got to be supernatural. Look, the indicators, you know, aren't about the budget or the size of the building or even how many people got saved. The true indicator of a win is, are you doing anything with those who got saved? Are you making disciples? And so we can appear to be successful, but if we're not using the measuring stick that Jesus gave us, then it doesn't matter. And for Him, the win is discipleship. When He gave them the Great Commission, He didn't say, I want y'all to go out and get people saved. He didn't just leave it there, right? He wants you to preach the gospel, baptize people. That assumes that they got saved. But then He says, make disciples and teach them the things that I've just taught you. And so that's what we're trying to do. So today we're going to look at the real reason that we're here based on the things that Jesus taught, and that is found in that final command that we read. Now, let me tell you, here's the other thing. There's two sides of this. If I'm going to be a disciple maker, I first have to be a disciple. Can I tell you that disciples, I ain't saying this to hurt anybody's feelings, but disciples are very rare. People who are willing to literally give Him their all and go beyond just being a Sunday morning churchgoer. A person who's willing to say, Jesus, I don't know what you can do with my life, but whatever you can do with it, I'm going to yield it up to you and let you do it. And when you truly have that heart, when you have that mindset, God will use you on the job. God will use you in the grocery store. God will use you at Walmart. God will use you in your family. God will use you anywhere you are because you're open to allow Him to use you. And I want to tell you, it all starts with me, first of all, saying, Lord, I want to be a disciple. And then I'm now going to be concerned about other people becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. Listen, not disciples of Dwayne Daigle, disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. God may use Dwayne Daigle to speak into your life. If He brought you here, then He'll do that. But you're ultimately a disciple of Jesus Christ, just like I am. So what is the task that Jesus gave us? Well, Jesus gave us that clear plan. We read it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All of us are called to make disciples that make disciples. Now listen, it goes even a step further than being a disciple and making a disciple, but we want to make disciples that make disciples. Right now, that's what I'm trying to do. I want to make disciples who make disciples. Because it has to start somewhere and it has to continue. Jesus had 12 guys, 12 of the most unlikely candidates that he pulled together. When you look at the personalities and the characteristics of those disciples, those typically are not the people that you would choose to start a worldwide movement. I mean, he had some fishermen in there. He had a tax collector in there, one of the most hated people in that day. Jesus says, I'll take him. I'll use him, right? You had people in there that were like anti-government, you know, zealots. There was a whole big mess of people in there. And Jesus said, I will take these people, and if they will surrender themselves to me and submit themselves to my teaching, I will cause them to be mountain movers. I will cause them to be world changers. I will cause them to turn the world upside down. And that was actually spoken over them, where they were causing trouble because they were introducing so many people to Jesus. And they said about these disciples, these are the ones who have turned the world upside down. No greater compliment could be spoken. And so we're called to make disciples who make disciples. The passage tells us to make disciples as we go about living life. And understand, it's as we go. It's not like, you know, I have people that will approach me from time to time and they'll say, hey, I think God's called me to ministry, so what do I need to do to be a pastor? And I always say, well, we're all called to ministry. You better make sure he's called you to be a pastor. And don't think that you have to be a pastor to do ministry. Because the word ministry only means serving. That's all it means. That's what the word means. A minister is a servant, right? So you have to ask yourself, how am I serving God right here and right now? And if you're not serving God in the right now, wherever he has you, whatever you're doing, then don't think that you're going to serve him as a pastor or some other fivefold ministry.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators, we know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.